1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Performance funding has been the real catalyst behind the intense focus by universities on student success and outcomes. Marrying financial incentives with the things that matter, the universities reacted to that in a very positive way. And that's the reason, in my judgment, we've been able to achieve the remarkable results that the system of higher education in Florida has been able to achieve.
Now, this is Ben Watkins, and I know you probably have no idea who he is, but he is a genuine expert in finance. He is the guy who's been running Florida's finance system for 30 years. Like, he's the director of the Florida Bond Finance Division. That's what he does. And he got tasked by the Board of Governors for the university and college system to basically do a study of us, our system of higher education, and then to go present those results at all of the universities and colleges. And so he's, or at least university, I don't know if he did the colleges, but now he's in the last one. UWF was the last one that he was doing. So he was here at the Board of Trustees giving a presentation. It was fascinating. At least to me, it was fascinating. I hope it was fascinating to you. But part of the thing to think about here is, why is Florida so weird? Like, Florida is a crazy, we don't tell people about it a lot, and I'm glad, because we don't need more and more people coming here, but Florida is super inexpensive and super high quality at the same time. I mean, it really is a weird animal that Florida's higher education system is as good as it is and as cheap as it is. Why is that?
Yeah, we see it every day in Florida because it's been part of, it's in our, baked in our DNA now. But I have to tell you, it's unique in the country. When you look across the higher ed space across the country, performance funding doesn't exist except in Florida.
Yeah, the idea of having metrics for measurement tied to funding, performance funding as he's calling it, is unique to us, or relatively unique to us, and it is crucial to why we've been so successful.
And so we've been the leader on incorporating objective metrics to measure performance. And that's a big deal. And marrying that with money has been a tremendous catalyst for carrying those reforms forward and achieving the results that the system overall has been able to achieve.
By the way, before I go on with his comments, because again, I want you to hear them. You know, Janice Gilley, who's a dear friend, she's fantastic. She's been a state representative. She was the, you know, county administrator. She was the aide to Senator Doug Broxson. I mean, she's kind of done everything, and she is fabulously capable. She has most recently been appointed by Governor DeSantis to the Board of Trustees for UWF. And she doesn't say much yet in the meetings. And I know her, she's she may not say a lot, but when she says something, it's worth hearing. If, in case you hadn't heard of Ben Watkins, this is Janice Gilley's endorsement of his significance, his prominence as an expert.
The reason why the state has this money to spend on higher education is because of this gentleman. You know, a lot of time people think of bureaucrats in Tallahassee that are behind the scenes trying to spend a lot of money. This gentleman has spent his career, as far as I know, trying to save the state of Florida from spending a lot of money. Our debt ratio, our bonding capacity, things like that, he has managed and maintained for almost 30 years, maybe more than 30 years. But when Mr. Watkins speaks in Tallahassee, everyone listens. And while there has been wailing and gnashing of teeth at some of his commentary and decisions over the years, he and I have agreed and disagreed on occasion. He is the reason why we have this money to spend.
Not only why is the university system in the situation that it's in, which was kind of his to analyze, but why is the state's financial situation, which is amazing compared to a lot of states, why is it in the situation that's in? Well, you know, largely because of Ben Watkins. And look, if Janice Gilley says it, it's true. I mean, period. So back to his presentation to the Board of Trustees about the metrics and about the unique situation and tying those metrics to funding, what he calls performance funding, why Florida is doing so well.
Florida's the cheapest, least expensive cost of a degree in the country. And you can see the tuition in Florida is 45% of the national average for public higher ed. 45%, so less than half of the cost of the national average.
For like a decade, we've been the best, and we are less than half of the average cost of public schools in the entire country.
If I bring privates into the equation and look at it compared to privates, 15% of the cost of the national average of higher public ed.
That is an insane level of cost compared to performance, because usually you think it's going to do better, it's going to cost more. I mean, a lot of times you hear that about schools in general, right? If you want to increase the output, you got to increase the spending. You got to spend more money. Or you've got to find a way to do it more effectively. And by the way, I know we're talking about the university system, but pretty much everything he's going to say here would apply to K-12, would apply to county and local government, would apply to national government, would apply to your business, whatever it is you do. So don't just be listening to this as a thing I can learn about UWF. Or, you know, the college system, think about this as something you can learn to apply even in your own endeavors, whatever they are. We'll come back to this in a second because, again, I think it's very interesting. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. US 98 as you're heading eastbound through Gulf Breeze between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline Drive, seeing just a little bit of congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need a roof repaired, replaced, looked at, inspected, not sure whether it needs to be a repair at all or a full replacement or what the cost will be now or later and what you might save from insurance, great. All good questions. I mean, look, I know nobody gets up in the morning thinking, woohoo, I get to have roofers come out. You know, it's an inconvenient thing and it's expensive, but you want the job done right. You obviously want your home to be secure. You want to get the insurance benefits of having the right kind of roof, and you want to make sure to, you know, not lose your shirt in the process of doing all that. Quality Roofing Solutions. For 20 years, Brian Ward has been helping people get better roofs at an affordable rate, do what they say they're going to do. 10,000 roofs later and a 4.9 rating on Google kind of tells the story. Lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs. That's something that they've kind of enhanced in the last year. I mean, I don't think anybody else does that. Very devoted to the local community. They'll help you understand and treat you like a person, not like, you know, look down on you if you don't get it or expect you to already get everything, but treat you the way you want to be treated. Respond to your phone calls, your emails, whatever the case may be, and work with you the whole stuff. I have a good friend who just used them, and she's like, yeah. They were not the cheapest. They were not the most expensive, but they did exactly what they said they were going to do. I'm very satisfied with the result. And that's really what you're hoping for, right? QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. Back to Ben Watkins, who is the director of Florida bond financing for the state, but he was tasked by the Board of Governors to go look at all these universities and figure out their metrics and what works and what's not working and where we're at and present the findings. Like a Florida higher ed doge, if you want to think about it that way. But again, don't be limited in thinking about what he's saying to just UWF or PSC, although it was a presentation at UWF. Be thinking about how it applies to K-12 or other political endeavors or even your own business, okay? Because I thought it was really interesting.
You want to drive change, line it up with money. It is a very powerful catalyst and incentive for adapting to change. And the universities have done a tremendous job in doing that over the last 10 years. Whether they do that or not, I don't have a clue, but that's one of my fundamental recommendations in as a product of this report.
Now, this might sound like a no-brainer, but if you tie performance metrics to money, I mean, you got to have performance metrics in the first place. You can't hit a target you don't know where it is. And then you got to incentivize the target. Anybody who works in sales knows this cold. If you reward salespeople for getting a job done, they'll get the job done. And if you give them, you know, a draw and a base and, well, you know, maybe you get some sales, maybe you don't. Well, K-12 has very rarely been, and higher ed has almost never been, either having good performance metrics nor has money been tied to it. And that's the point.
Changing embedding financial metrics into performance-based funding. Making it a part of performance-based funding. If you want to drive outcomes, then line it up with money and watch the change occur.
Yeah, you got to have the metrics. You've got to use them with rewards. And then the tighter you tie those things together, like right now the system is you kind of get bonuses and debonuses, you know, penalties and rewards. But it's not as closely connected to the performance metrics as it could be. And what he's saying is tie it even closer. Basically make you earn your money by performing.
Trustee Gilly will get this because she's a budgeteer from Tallahassee from way back. You've got to look at, you know, what does it cost to produce a degree? And you can look at it for the institution as a whole. You can't make any meaningful change. But if you look at it college by college by college, you can figure out who is most efficient, who's most effective, and is this where we want to put our money? So you make data-driven decisions based on how you want, where you want to put your money and what is strategically important to the university, because there's not always going to be more money. So it becomes really important how you want to steer the institution to achieve the requisite outcomes that you're looking for.
The University of West Florida is producing, I don't remember the number, but let's say it's 50. I don't think it's quite that many, but 50 degree programs. Okay, it could be higher. I don't know. 50 degree programs. Instead of looking at the entire university as like a cost per degree or as a cost for, you know, so many credit hours or something like that, you got to look at each individual department. How much is it costing us per degree to produce engineers or even mechanical or electrical engineers? How much is it costing us per department, per degree in nursing or in, you know, business? Because if you look at the whole thing, it's like, where do you start to fix that problem? Well, if you look at each one, now you can start to look at how much does each professor cost? Which professors are we paying for? Are we getting our money's worth out of them? How many students are we taking? How many are we graduating? You can really start to think about it as, you know, 50 production lines. And then you can evaluate and improve each production line based on the things that apply to that particular product that you're making. And again, thinking of degree course programs as a product.
Last thing, personnel, crickets. Very difficult to get information uniformly or with any meaningful categorization. They can categorize them in big pictures, but they can't tell you where they are. Do you say how many people work in the College of Education? How many administrators? How many instructors? What is the student production? That conversation's never had, and it should be from a financial management standpoint. So that's the sketchiest and most difficult data is around personnel. And 70% of the cost of running a university is tied up in personnel. So if you can't do that, then it makes it very difficult to effectively manage the institution.
Now, you want to blame that on unions, you want to blame that on teachers, you want to blame that on a lack of business knowledge by the people who run these departments. I mean, some of all of that. But I think probably the best explanation is we've just never been forced to look at it that way. And they're reluctant to produce the information that he wants. He's like, I was asked to come in here and look at this stuff, and I could not penetrate it. You know, I read financial statements for a living, and man, you people do not produce the information that we need.
Audited financial statements, I've been looking at them for, you know, a lot of years. And they're supposed to be able to provide a roadmap and give visibility and transparency about what goes on at an institution. Higher ed, I can look at them. I don't have a clue because of the way they're constructed.
That's not him saying he's dumb. He's saying, you guys do this badly. All of you do this badly.
So what we did was strip out the things that are all ancillary to the core mission of educating kids. What does that mean? Research. You know, we took it out because you can measure it separately. You can look at grants and contracts revenue, and you can look at the number of people devoted to the space, and you can do some math, simple math. And we also took out auxiliary enterprises because all that information, as you think about auxiliaries at a university, we're supposed to be delivering services to students at cost. And that's what it amounts to. So strip it out.
So as a financial analysis, he's saying get rid of the stuff that doesn't matter. Pay attention to the stuff that does matter. You've got to really figure out what you're spending and where and what your results are in each individual department, maybe even in subsections of those departments. And then you can really start to talk about finding some metrics, applying the math, figuring out how to incentivize people, and figuring out how to fit the metrics that the state is applying, and then improving all of this stuff. And here's a good example. He gave one particularly concrete example that I thought helped clarify the idea that You can look like you're doing better because certain numbers say you are, but when you actually think about what those numbers mean, you can be doing worse even while you seem to want to be celebrating.
We took a look at instructional productivity, and you look at it and you go from 9 million credit hours to 9.5 million credit hours over the last 8 years. That's great. Okay, it's going up. Then we took it and simply divided it by the number of instructors devoted to teaching kids. I mean, it actually went down. So we were adding more headcount from a system as a whole. We were adding more headcount and instructors than we were credit hours. So actual credit hours from productivity standpoint went down.
So credit hours went up, but productivity went down. Uh-oh. But you got to know how to look at it the right way. So his ultimate big takeaway, and again, this is a for him, for the university system, for K-12, for your business, for everybody, is the tighter you can marry real, objective, measurable metrics of performance with rewards, the better you'll be.
So we strip those to capital outlay, strip it out, you know, because it goes up and down. To get down to just basically core recurring funding and expenses associated with running the institution. And that's the way we generated all the numbers for comparative purposes. The point is that the financial statements provide no clarity in the context of the higher ed space.
Right now.
So making the requisite adjustments to strip out things that are not particularly relevant and manage to the core function can be done, and we did that.
And he also, by the way, this was a one-year exercise. He's like, you need to keep doing this every year. Because there's no mandate to do that yet. Oh, by the way, somebody texted me a good clarification. It wasn't DeSantis who appointed Janice Gilley, which kind of does make a lot of sense. It was the Board of Governors themselves and Doug Broxson, who was on the Board of Governors as well. 725 News Radio 92.3. If you have questions, 437-1620 or comments. John Pickens is out today, but PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both still looking good at this hour. Let's see here. Highway 29 southbound as you're passing by 10 mile and between 9.5 mile. Seeing quite a bit of congestion there, so just use some extra caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune into our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
Kicking back when the sun goes down.
This week, Southern Breeze blows into Pensacola Beach with their original blend of rock and country, acoustic, and southern rock hits at Bands on the Beach at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets and no glass.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Am I going to be the one that's going to set them straight? Look at me wrong.
PJ had asked, was this a presentation that he gave to all the universities or just UWF? No, it was to all of them, but UWF was the final presentation. You know, it was to the Board of Trustees meeting. 729 on, that's what you asked, right? 729 on News Radio 92.3. Sorry if I was not clear about that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. A new report says Iran is using the ceasefire with the U.S. to dig out missiles and other munitions that have been buried underground. NBC News is citing a U.S. official and other sources saying Iran wants to quickly rebuild its drone and missile capabilities to launch attacks if military operations resume.
Just think of how bad it is that they would rather take shovels and metal detectors and find buried munitions and capability instead of the ability to build them, which has been destroyed. So it's just, it's fascinating. Go on. Absolutely. It's like they're out at the beach trying to find their weapons.
Absolutely. The longest federal shutdown in U.S. history is over. President Trump signing a bill funding the Department of Homeland Security yesterday. The bill funds most of DHS, but not ICE or Border Patrol.
And the Coast Guard, though, the Coast Guard's been funded. The civilian sector hadn't been, and there's been a lot of issues with it. There are a lot of lingering questions and lingering problems to be solved as a result of, what, 73 days? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Something
yeah.
crazy. Anyway, what else? Anything else?
Two more teams headed to the second round of the Stanley Cup. The Minnesota Wild beating Dallas yesterday, and the Anaheim Ducks defeating Edmonton.
Which was the 140-89 game?
That was
crazy. That's embarrassing. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Ryan Jenkins will come up next. We'll find out how they're doing with the lack of rain. Horrific situation for Florida's farmers.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump heads to the Villages in Florida today to promote his expanded retirement account access for workers.
A sprawling, vibrant retirement community. It's also an economy in itself with a workforce below retirement age who could really benefit from these expanded IRA accounts announced yesterday. So the president's also expected to talk today about the senior bonus deduction as part of the Big Beautiful Bill, plus no tax on Social Security and tips.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff with the White House. Trump administration says more than 30 million seniors have claimed the new no tax on Social Security deduction totaling over $7,500. Gas spiking by 9 cents overnight. AAA says the national average is now $4.39 a gallon. Diesel checking in at $5.57 a gallon. May Day protests begin at 9:30 a.m. Eastern outside Trump Tower in Midtown Manhattan. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got 73 degrees with cloudy skies, and we will get a look at our weather forecast from Marion Caldwell. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the billboards, the graffiti bridge paintings, the votes. Mayor D.C. Reeves says American Idol's noticed all of that, and producers have told him and Keela Richardson's family directly that Pensacola's support stands out among all the hometown markets on this season of American Idol.
We've gotten feedback from the show itself, and they are really impressed with whether it's billboards or the graffiti bridge or all of these different things that people are seeing, how we're really circling ourselves and lifting Keela up is being noticed in Hollywood, I can tell you. I mean, they have told us that personally. They've told her family that. So all of that effort is being noticed.
And Mayor Reeves says he told producers on their first call that Pensacola's goal is to make it the best hometown visit that American Idol's ever seen, with the free concert set for Wednesday at the Hunter Amphitheater and a parade on South Palafox. He says the city's doing everything in its power to deliver on that promise. Of course, that is all contingent on Keela making the top three on Monday's episode of American Idol. An 18-year-old Louisiana man facing charges after fleeing from deputies and crashing into another vehicle yesterday. The Florida Highway Patrol says Peyton Jackson fled a traffic stop for an expired tag, then hit a vehicle near Mobile Highway and Massachusetts Avenue. Jackson was located and arrested near that location. He does face charges of fleeing and eluding, hit and run, and driving without a license. A crew of 25 men and women, 17 of them military veterans, is planning to row a replica Viking ship from Denmark to Pensacola next summer. The group is hoping to sail the same route once taken by Eric the Red, setting a world record in the process. The 50-foot open-deck ship is being built in Denmark using traditional Viking clinker building techniques. The crew expects brutal conditions, including 48-degree ocean water with no engine, just oars. Once they arrive in Pensacola, the group is hoping to build a working replica medieval Viking village. called Vinland Firth. The voyage is aimed at improving mental health for veterans. The crew trying to raise $2 million to fund their expedition with a planned departure from Denmark in June of 2027. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis praising the newly approved congressional maps, pointing to a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision as validation. The high court struck down a Louisiana district as an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. The governor said a similar issue existed in South Florida.
We were going to have to redo this because of the racial gerrymandering that was done in Southern Florida. And then look at the Florida map that the legislator passed. It's a beautiful, compact map. Very nice map.
The new Florida map cuts Democrat-leaning districts from 8 down to 4 and will be used in the upcoming midterm elections. Democrats argue it's illegal and a partisan power grab. Legal challenges are expected. And it is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thanks, David. I-10 and 110 both continue to look good at this hour. U.S. 29 between 10 mile and 9.5 mile, seeing quite a bit of congestion there. Also, U.S. 98 as you're passing by the Naval Live Oaks area in Gulf Breeze, that's seeing some congestion as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And now a look at our forecast with Channel 3 meteorologist Marion Caldwell.
Rain continues to round out the work in school week. Expect that to become more widespread as the day goes on. Temperatures will be on the cooler side today, only topping out in the upper 60s and low 70s. Rain lingers into Saturday morning, but the better part of the weekend does look dry. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Forecast.
70 degrees, we've got cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3.
Murray with your money now. Exxon's and Chevron's profits fell compared to last year, despite surging oil prices due to the Iran war. The oil majors made financial hedges that were timed unfavorably amid the war. CNBC reports the impact is temporary and expected to resolve in subsequent quarters. The two oil majors beat Wall Street's earnings estimates. Reddit CEO Steve Huffman said his company may be one of the most underappreciated winners of the artificial intelligence boom. Huffman's comments on CNBC come after Reddit delivered a standout quarter, sending its shares about 9% higher. Rivian has renegotiated a loan from the Department of Energy from a prior amount of roughly $6.5 billion down to $4.5 billion. The changes enable Rivian to draw on the loan sooner and have greater initial production, but lowers its total production capacity for the plant amid uncertain demand for all electric vehicles. Futures are mixed after the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 reached record highs yesterday. That's your money now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Christy and Darren Costello are the owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through our doors.
At first, there were a few. Then every day, more and more came.
The need in our community was huge. The demand kept growing, and I refused to turn away from feeding these children.
Fast forward.
I created a foundation in honor of my mother, Kimberly Tower. To date, we have provided over 500,000 free meals. We've made tangible strides, but our mission is calling for even more, and we really need your help. We need donations, we need volunteers, and most of all, we need your prayers.
To find out more on how you can help, visit the Kimberly Tower Foundation website at ktfforlove.org or drop by and meet Christy at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the corner of Lillian and Fairfield Drive.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know,
always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on a farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woohoo! Everybody knows we got some of the richest soil in the country right here in the north end of the county. And I'm going to tag off of what I'm going to bring dead on the name. But anyhow, eat more peanuts. Because if you eat them, if you eat them, my name's. Shake greatly appreciates it because that's where most of your peanuts come from on M&M's.
I love that Bobby Burkett, County Commissioner in Santa Rosa County, when he could not remember Ryan Jenkins' name, at least he knew he's the Eat More Peanuts guy. Ryan, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, checks in with us about once a month to help us know what's going on with the farming community. Hey, Ryan, Mr. Eat More Peanuts, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be known for something, right?
Something, yeah.
Hey, let's start with the big stuff. We have been in a historically atrocious drought. It doesn't seem to me like we have even yet got the kind of the significant amount of rain that you talked last time about us needing. You know, we're getting a half inch here and three quarters of an inch there, but that's not what you need. Where are we at, and have you been able to get your crops in the ground?
We have not. You know, we were able to sneak our corn in a month and a half ago. So it's up and it's just kind of sitting there. It's growing a little bit, but it's kind of sitting there. But our peanuts and cotton and soybeans, we're on hold and not really able to do much field operations just because it's so dry. We can't get.
Well, this phone system has gotten nuts in the last month. I don't know what's going on with it. I apologize, but he called right back. We'll get him on in just a second. So it is super weird. I apologize for that. Ryan is back on the line. Ryan, thank you for calling. Ryan, we've had something weird going on with our phone system lately, and I do not know what it is. Sorry about that. Anyway, you were saying you haven't been able to get the crops in the ground because it's so dry.
That is correct. It's so dry, we're not able to get in the field and really do a whole lot of work. We can't get our equipment into the ground.
How far behind are you at this point?
We're not terrible far behind. We probably would have started about a week ago, but the deal is we're just scared. You know, we've only got a short window of time. We've pretty much got to be done planting by the end of May. You know, if you miss that, you're kind of out on some of these crops. On the peanuts, it gets late after that. So we're worried. You know, everybody I talk to, I have a lot of friends across the peanut belt and the cotton growing belt, and pretty much everybody I talk to is in the same boat. Some are even in worse shape than we are. So it's you know.
Killed me. I so love talking to Ryan, and I do not know what to, I'll have to talk to our engineers and see if we can figure this out. It's something because it's happening with Mike Wood recently. All right, we got Ryan back there. Sorry, you're being quick to get us back. I appreciate that, Ryan. Okay, so you're maybe a week behind, but you're worried about the future because if you don't get it into the window, you're not going to be able to get it out. We also recently talked about fertilizer prices, and we talked about the cost of diesel, both of which are affected by the Iran war because of shipping and oil prices. How are you doing there?
Terrible. They're still going up. We got a call yesterday morning saying, hey, if you want to buy diesel, it's fixing to go up 25 more cents today. So we bought some more diesel, and I mean, it's still going up. So the year's not starting off so hot, but maybe it'll get better. God usually puts a way in there that we don't see. So
what about on the back end? I mean, I know a lot of your struggle is input cost, but what about on the back end, your commodities prices? How are they looking?
Well, the peanut price, we signed a contract, which was very low, but at least it was a contract. So it'll be about a, it'll be about a break even price. You have to make a really good crop to make any money with it, but could be worse. And then our cotton, believe it or not, you know, when we were talking a month or two ago, it was in the mid 60s, and it is really rallied here in the last couple of weeks. And today it was, this morning I looked before I got on.
Yeah, this is one of the challenges, is as the prices of different commodities shift. And of course, what cotton needs once you get it in the ground and growing is it needs that intense heat for a long time during the summer. You have to have so many days at so much heat in order to make it work. Ryan, I was just explaining to them that, you know, when the cotton, you have to have it in the ground for so long under so much heat in order for it to get to the production. But it's a good news, it sounds like. The price of cotton is up, at least as of today.
Yes, over 83 cents. So we're getting close to 20 cent increase in the last couple of months. And I think it's because of the oil prices being so high. You know, polyester is our big competitor. It's cotton's big competitor. So it takes a lot of oil to make polyester.
Interesting. The combat between those two guys. Yeah, I would never thought about it. That's why I love talking to you, because I always learn such fascinating things about how that will affect the price of, you know, cotton, for example, because that is your competitor. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, our good friend, our farmer up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, do we know anything yet about the farm bill that passed the House yesterday? Have you had a chance to look at that? I know it's still pending the Senate, but do we know anything?
I've looked a little, but no, I don't know, because I know I don't put a lot of whatever into it until it's done.
I got you.
They'll change it when they get it in the Senate. But we are, you know, all in all, it looks like a good bill. It looks like something that'll help us out. There's a million different things in there. You know, it would take it all day to talk about. But
I bet.
All in all, it's something that's wanted and needed, and we're excited if we can get it passed.
You had Jay Collins came to town, right, and talked to the farmers a couple weeks ago?
He did. I was very impressed. I'd never met him or really followed him. He wanted to come and set up a meeting with a farmer, so we put that together. And he has a really unique story in a lot of ways. I mean, he has a lot of unique stories.
Yeah, he does.
He does have a farming background. You know, his family were big farmers. And they ended up losing the farm. So he understands, you know, how serious things are. And I don't know, I connected with him on the farming part of things. So it was a good, very good visit.
You guys had a farm-to-table event recently?
The Jay Chamber of Commerce. This was our second annual farm-to-table event. So it's a very cool deal. You know, every single thing that we eat there is grown here. So the chamber will start now collecting, you know, harvesting foods and stuff for the farm.
All right. Well, I think that's, well, we might get him back in a bit here. Let's, PJ, I know he's working on the phone. PJ, can you just give us traffic on the fives real quick, and then we'll get back to finishing Ryan to the best that we can. He's been such a great trooper, calling back every time the phone drops. Go ahead, PJ.
I-10 and 110 both continue to look good at this hour. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Back in the days when you paid for it by the minutes, you know, they'd be charging you for all this, Ryan. All right, so.
Now I wish I had a landline.
I know, as quick as we can before we run out of technology. The farm-to-table event, you had that. And last thoughts about that, because you're just kind of in the middle of finishing that up.
Everything's grown here local. Everything that we eat's grown here local. We hire a chef to come in on site and cook. We sold 300 tickets to it this year. And had a waiting list. People loved it. But it's just something I think your listeners would like to know about look forward to for next year. But it's a very good event. Brings a lot of awareness to local agriculture. Of course, it's a fundraising event for the chamber. It's just a good deal all the way around. A lot of good fellowship. A lot of talking about ag. You know, it might be the one time that some of those people ever hear about some of this stuff or think about some of it.
Right.
Or think that what they're eating comes from somewhere like this. So, It was a good deal, something that we're very proud of.
You always like to end with a farm fact or something like that. Do you have something for me this week?
It is. We were talking about the price of cotton going up being tied to the price of oil going up.
Which I thought was a great insight, by the way. I did not know that. Go ahead.
So polyester is our biggest competitor. You know, man-made fibers is cotton's competitor. So it takes about 170 gallons of crude oil, 170 gallons of crude oil to make 500 pounds of polyester. So something that's equivalent to one bale of cotton takes 170 gallons of crude.
Wow, that is an enormous number. Well, Ryan Jenkins, excellent work today accommodating our phone issues. I super appreciate you, sir, and certainly appreciate what you do for us growing our food and putting clothes on my kids' backs. And I always like to think of you as the Eat More Peanuts guy. 749 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, maybe not one that runs on diesel these days, but if you're thinking about that next car, maybe one that's more fuel efficient. Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used vehicles, 1 to 4 years young, 10 to maybe 30 or 40,000 miles. And the trick to what they do is not just great selection and not just good customer service, and they'll leave you alone if you want to be left alone, but they treat you like you want to come back. They make you enjoy the experience, or at least not hate it. You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of times when you go car shopping, it's sort of degrees of dislike. Well, I dislike that one a little bit less than the other one, and I really dislike that other one. And Frontier, what they're trying to do is to make it so that you don't hate that process, because they know most people do. I know I do. And if you're like most people, you do too. Frontier, they do it differently. They want you to come back again and again and again. I mean, not immediately, but, you know, in 3 or 5 or 8 years, whenever the time comes. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As lead agency for our regional continuum of care, Opening Doors of Northwest Florida helps coordinate funding, data, and community planning to strengthen local response to homelessness. Pathways for Change is a community partner, and they make a significant community impact as they help coordinate mapping initiatives that identify gaps and streamline services for individuals with mental illness. Together, Opening Doors and Pathways for Change work to strengthen housing stability across our community. Sponsored by Nurses on Call, serving nurse staffing solutions for the Gulf Coast.
Pensacola, you don't have to drive to 30A or Destin to get a wonderful beach house. Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach is over 5,000 square feet with 9 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, a private heated pool, and big wraparound porches for 26 adults. It's built on sand level, so grandparents, toddlers, and anyone with mobility issues can enjoy the beach without climbing flights of stairs. Host a family reunion, milestone birthday, or small beach wedding, and keep everybody under one roof instead of scattered in hotel rooms. Right now, they're featuring special staycation pricing for local residents on available dates at Casa de Luna. Call 850-485-7222 to check dates and ask for local rates. Again, 850-485-7222. See pictures and link to the comprehensive VRBO listing. Go to CasaDeLunaPensacola.com. That's CasaDeLunaPensacola.com.
Thinking about starting your GLP-1 journey? Go to orderlymeds.com/radio. Get access to proven GLP-1 medications, licensed providers, and a plan built for real life, all online. No guesswork, no wasted time. Just real people, real answers, real momentum, and support that actually lasts. Join thousands already seeing results. Start now at orderlymeds.com/radio. orderlymeds.com/radio. Individual results may vary. Not medical advice. Eligibility required. See site for details.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Now, if you listen to this show regularly, you probably are wondering what? It's not Wednesday. It's not 7:40. It's a very unusual time, but that's because we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who Brent Lane, my good friend and co-worker, and he is the host of the Cat Pack Morning Show over on Cat Country 98.7, had invited D.C. in to talk about the Keela Richardson stuff, which we just got a bunch of news about that yesterday. And, you know, D.C.'s like, I'll go talk to Andrew after that. Oh, perfect. So here we go. We have D.C. Reeves here in studio with me. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, glad to be back with you twice in a week.
I know. It's an exciting time. So things have been changing rapidly. Give us a true as of 7:53 on Friday morning, assuming she makes top three, which is a good assumption, but not 100%. You know, she has to do it, and there are other singers in this competition too.
That's right.
But assuming she makes top three on Monday night, What happens next week?
Yeah, so Wednesday, May 6th, there'll be a parade at 4 p.m. That will be from at Cedar in Maine, Cedar in Palafox, one block south of Maine, and going towards Plaza de Luna. And if you don't know Plaza de Luna and you've been here a while, that's where the old Bayfront Auditorium was. So it's those
now three fountains that work somewhat of the time.
That, yeah, partially. Yeah, partial fountains.
Splash pad, right.
So it'll go that way at 4. Doors open at the Concert Hunter Amphitheater is the amphitheater behind the Wahoo Stadium. Doors will open at 5:30. The concert begins at 6:30. It is free, but you need tickets. So why today matters at 7:54 a.m. is at 10 a.m. in 2 hours. There will be, if you go to keylafest.com, K-E-Y-L-A-F-E-S-T.com, that has all the information about tickets, release times, what you can and can't bring in, all of those things. So think about any concert experience you've ever had. It'll be very similar, except you won't be paying for the ticket. You will need a ticket to get in, though. Because we want to make sure we get enough security, enough police and fire, et cetera, and because we're expecting a big crowd, which is great. So Friday, 10 a.m. is standing only. This is stage side amphitheater in the bowl.
Don't bring your lawn chair.
No lawn chairs, no blankets. It's standing only and ADA access, of course.
Right.
And then Saturday at 10 a.m., if you don't get any of those, I would be on at 10 a.m. if you want to get there, max 4 per person. But Saturday at 10 a.m., they will open the overflow in the stadium. So you can
That's
go
the
and
tickets for the overflow.
That's right. Tickets for the overflow will be released Saturday at 10 a.m. We staggered those to eliminate the confusion of which one is which.
You're right,
But if you go in the stadium, obviously you'll be able to hear, see on the Jumbotron, maybe be able to see it if you're back in center field.
It's kind of a weird position, right? If you're in center field, you'd be close to hear, but you won't be really able to see the Jumbotron because you'd be like, craning your neck straight up.
Exactly. So, but if you want to go, but you want a seat, for example, you're going to be able to hear her loud and clear. We'll have concert quality, audio, video, all of that kind of stuff.
Hang on for just a second. Let's get PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget and big savings on your next home project. No accidents or delays to report. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
All right, thanks so much, PJ. So let me tell you how Andrew McKay, citizen,
yes,
not Andrew McKay, you know, media guy, would think about this is, I don't really want to go through the trouble of getting a ticket. It's a Hunter Amphitheater. I can just walk up to the perimeter, and I might be on the outside of some wall, but I'll be able to hear it just fine.
Yeah, that's fine, other than, of course, there's going to be ticket security barricades, all that.
Sure.
So if you want to stand in the parking lot or behind home plate and be able to hear it, certainly you'll be able to do that. But there will be, if you have an amphitheater ticket, there's going to be an amphitheater entrance between the stadium and the water.
Okay, on the east side there?
No, it'll be on the west side.
Oh, on the
Bruce
west side.
Beach
got
side.
It.
And it'll be very clear if you have amphitheater, you've got to go in there. And then on the, if you have a stadium ticket, you will go in the stadium like you go for a normal baseball game.
Okay.
The east side, that you're discussing, that
little,
small,
little strip. Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be used for,
they're going to use that. Okay. Secure, that makes sense.
Yeah, for backstage type stuff. So.
Okay, so 10 a.m. today for at the Hunter Amphitheater, 10 a.m. tomorrow for inside the Wahoo Stadium. Or if you just want to, you know, live life on the edge, you can always walk up later. Parking?
Parking.
I know your favorite subject, but parking?
Of course. Normal Wahoo's game day-like parking, all will be free, all of that. It's not going to be, again, this
on
is
on Community Maritime Park,
this
on
is
the
a
grass,
concert,
on the road, whatever.
Exactly. A community celebration. And so we certainly, and it wouldn't happen without the police department, the fire department, the sheriff, the Wahoos have been awesome.
Yep, yep.
Beach Davis in our office have been great. So this is a community concert. It's a community celebration for one of our own. And we're putting a lot of planning in it. And you know what? If we have to guilt these producers into putting her in top three because we have 10,000 people ready to come see her, so be it.
Now, okay, I know you may not be able to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Because I have had people ask me, it sure does seem like we're preparing pretty hard for a thing we claim we don't know is going to happen. Is this exact level of preparation happening in five cities, or do we kind of know?
Can I give you the email to the American Idol producer for your question? Here's what I'll tell you. We're preparing that she's in the top three. And you know what? If you're watching the show right now, I'm going to take my mayor hat off, and I'm going to put my citizen hat on, just like you said. You cannot convince me she's not one of the three best.
I'm
objectively
saying, yeah, right.
I mean, I would listen. I'd admit it and say, "Hey, man, she great run. You know, this might be tough this time."
Yeah.
But I think the level of preparation on the city side is equivalent to, I believe, what's what her success. To
whoever, yeah. And people have to vote. I mean, she still has to win. So people, that's your job, is to do the voting for it. If for some reason she doesn't make top three, does that mean this event will just not happen and we'll find something else? Is that the plan right now? Because it seems like a lot of quick adaptation from Monday to Wednesday, if that's true.
Absolutely. The question is, will we celebrate her for getting top five? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this form, because there's a lot of other parts to make this happen that are coming from American Idol.
Right, they're like producing the band essentially,
and things like that. So it would be too difficult to kind of redo the rest of the details
without their
this quickly.
Support, yeah.
Yeah, but nonetheless, we absolutely, I mean, what a run. 224,000 auditions, she's in the last five.
And you've pitched, $50,000 from the TDC because of the value, the promotional value of Pensacola is immense.
30-second commercial on that show is going to be almost $1 million, I think. I think this is, what an opportunity for our city.
This is like showcase. Getting a free Super Bowl commercial.
It is.
And absolutely. She has obviously already done quite a bit for promoting the city. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait for it. It's going to be fantastic. Mayor DC Reeves, thanks for stopping by this morning. Thanks for working. I know your phone has been blowing up over this all week, but thank you for the work, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A new proposal from Iran. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. Iran State Media reports a new proposal for negotiations with the U.S. has been delivered to mediators in Pakistan. President Trump rejected the last offer for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to oil shipping traffic, but postponed nuclear talks. Oil company Chevron CEO Mike Wirth tells Fox Business, tighter oil inventories driving prices up.
We've got a situation where there's a bit of a stalemate, and the movements through the region are essentially stopped. I think the security risks remain high. There are certainly reports that the strait has been mined.
Gas is up another 9 cents a gallon today, $4.39 on average nationwide, according to AAA, 17 cents higher than it was Wednesday. President Trump says he will probably pull American troops out of Spain and Italy, the day after saying the same about Germany, over those NATO allies' opposition to the U.S.-Israeli military operation in Iran. The Justice Department's released nearly 6 minutes of video of the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting suspect before and during the shooting.
U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Jeanine Pirro, posting the video online. She says it shows the suspect, Cole Allen, casing the Washington Hilton Hotel the day before the attack. He wanders through the hotel hallways and gym, appearing to look at exits and doorways. On the night of the shooting, right before Allen...